Good evening and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. It's a blessing to be in the studio with all of these beautiful faces in front of me. And Tanya, who is joining us today, if you remember, she was with us for the first couple years, or I don't know how many years, but she was here.
3 or 4?
Yeah.
About that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow. Crazy. Yeah. So Tanya's here, Shelly, Tara, Sandy, and me. And we are starting a new series called Portable Sanctuary, mm-hmm. and we are studying Joshua.
Yeah.
And what it means to be a portable sanctuary.
You know, and before we go into the study, I have to say that so people know that Sabrina is a portable sanctuary. She is moving to Des Moines, Iowa, and mm-hmm. we're sad because this month's recording is going to be our last time to have her at the station with us.
Yes.
And we just want to say we love you.
Mm-hmm.
We
love
thank
you
God
guys.
For you. We've loved having you.
I've loved
having
here.
You shoulder to shoulder. And it's great to have Tanya back in
the
studio.
What a stage. Thank you. It feels like no time has passed. This is just like old times.
It didn't.
In the same room with the same mics and the same lovely ladies and two new ones that are doing awesome. Yeah.
You
so
know,
thanks for having me.
That's how it is with God. Friends are forever mm-hmm. when the Lord's mm-hmm. the Lord of them. And mm-hmm. God is beyond time. And when mm-hmm. we're with the body of Christ, mm-hmm. He takes that time and removes it.
Yeah.
He does.
Yeah.
It's a blessing. Yes. Okay, so what is portable sanctuary? I have a question for you guys. Y'all tell me. Okay. What does the word portable mean to you?
Movable.
That's what I was going to say, movable.
Movable.
Take it with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Take it with you.
Wherever you want to go.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Easy.
Easy.
Easy to
easily carry or move.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay, so a portable. And then sanctuary. Now, define sanctuary for me.
How safe, would you? Comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Holy.
Okay.
Yeah, pure. Has
to be pure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, why? Why would we want a sanctuary to be holy, pure?
That's where we worship.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what I was looking for. That is a good word.
Worship.
It is a place of worship that is holy, that is set apart, that is pure. And when I was preparing this series many, many years ago, Tanya was a part of the group when God first taught this to me, and we were just discussing before we started. I really don't feel I have a full grasp of it yet. And so we're going to be sharing what we're learning, and I know that God's going to be revealing us things just as we go, mm-hmm. you know, even as we're learning. It's not a series that is out there published yet, but it's a series that is written that I want to work through and bring mm-hmm. to publication. And Joshua is just this amazing man of God. Mm-hmm. In fact, I read one commentator that said, nowhere in the Bible is there anything negative written about Joshua.
Mm. Wow. Mm.
That every reference towards him, it's positive. It's one of those truths that he was a man that stayed solid. And in order to prepare us for looking at portable sanctuary, we're going to be examining his life in the first few chapters of Joshua to examine what that means for us today. Mm. Because the book of Joshua is actually a book of historical relevance. It's extremely important historically because it is revealing God's plan of redemption. And in the book of Genesis, in chapter, I think it's 15, God tells Abram that he has a plan for him, and he tells him and makes the covenant with him. He says, I'm going to make your descendants like the stars of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
But then he kind of has this but, and he says, but your people, your descendants, will have a period of 400 years that they are going to be in bondage.
Mm-hmm.
They will be delivered mm-hmm. out of it after 400 years. And so he's preparing him for the fourth generation will have to leave the land of Canaan. What it is that when we get to Joshua, Joshua is the beginning of that new era.
Mm.
That is the time that everything that had happened up to that point was, you know, waiting for what God said would happen in that big sequence of all the drama of Israel at that time, to the point that Joshua takes his position. And I was so blown away. I just learned an amazing thing in that, you know, I think of they had the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to think through all the things that I remember about Joshua. Just you guys call out some things that you remember before the book of Joshua, if you can think on things, and I'll help you. What are some things that Joshua might have seen?
I was just thinking of Joshua and Caleb.
Okay, yeah. when they went as spies. Okay, mm-hmm. All right, so they were sent to be spies.
Well, wasn't he Moses' assistant?
He was Moses' assistant. In fact, one passage actually refers to him as Moses' aide.
Yeah.
Hmm. So he saw the Ten Commandments.
He was standing beside as Moses was receiving the Ten Commandments, yes. And that's Exodus 24.
Okay. I think that's huge, too, because Moses was an incredible leader to be under.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
I think he saw that sin has a consequence, obviously Moses not being able to go into the promised land. So that resonated with him. So I'm not surprised when you say that nowhere else in the Bible does it say that he fell as a leader because he saw that what happens when a leader sins. Mm-hmm. And I think because he was raised, like he was right beside, he was mentored by somebody that was so solid.
It's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
That's great.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is what was so profound to me. The number 40, according to Hebrew tradition, is the number that represents a time of testing. Mm-hmm. Now, let's think of different 40s that we know of in Scripture.
Jesus.
40, Jesus, he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And what happened? Was he tested?
Yes.
Scripture tells us.
Mm-hmm.
What about the wilderness wanderings?
40 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Moses up on the mountain for 40 days, right?
Okay. He's in the mountain for 40 days, and then God sends him down because the people were getting wicked.
Mm-hmm.
And with Aaron, and Aaron's down below, and the people are like, whatever happened to that man, Moses? He's not coming back?
Mm-hmm.
And you need to give us a God. And so Aaron looks at them, and he says, okay, all right, give me your jewelry, and I'll do it.
One.
And then he fashions with his hands. Scripture says he actually sculpts and fashions and makes a calf, a golden calf, for them to worship. And he sits it up, and then he creates this altar. And he says, and tomorrow we're going to worship the Lord. And they have this golden calf. And the whole time this is happening, guess where Joshua was? He wasn't in the camp.
Mm.
He was fasting.
Was he
with?
He was at the edge because nobody was allowed at the mountain. Mm-hmm. He was appointed to stand at the base to make sure that nobody
went up
or down, because the Lord would not allow it. And so he was standing guard, and Moses was gone for 40 days.
The gatekeeper.
Wow.
He was. The gatekeeper is exactly what he was.
I think that's huge. What you just said is, I think our, the flesh, us people, desire to worship something they can see, something they can touch. And I think that's key with where we're going with this.
It's completely key. It is completely key. And what you have to understand is that 40 days was a time of testing for the nation of Israel.
Mm.
What would they do 40 days without their leader? What would be the outcome of their leader not being amongst them for 40 days? And what ended up happening is they wanted an idol. Give us a God.
Wickedness.
Give us a God. And God said, I am burning with anger against them. And Moses begged before God in their behalf.
Mm-hmm.
He did. And as he begged before God in their behalf, he relented and said, okay. But Moses went down, and as Moses walked down, he reached the point where Joshua was, and Joshua looks at him and goes, it sounds like war in the camp. So even though Joshua heard what was going on, he had been told, you stay.
And he did.
Obedient. Regardless of what the people were doing, he stayed at his appointed spot and did what he was supposed to do until Moses came. And Moses says, that is not war. That is celebration.
Mm-hmm.
And as he goes down and he sees, he shatters the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm.
And this is at the point that the first introduction of a portable sanctuary occurs.
Mm.
And it's called the Tent of Meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the Tent of Meeting was a tent that they kept within the camp, that God would meet them there, and his presence would be revealed, and he would reveal himself to them. Well, in Exodus 33, it says that Moses goes to the tent, and as he enters, Joshua is there to guard the door. The Lord puts the pillar around it, the pillar cloud goes in to reveal his presence is there. And it says all of the people of Israel were standing at their tent entrance waiting to hear, because they were scared to death.
Mm.
And they were scared because up to that point, the tent had always been within, like, the village where the people were, showing his presence. But Moses was showing to them symbolically, because they had allowed sin into the camp and they had chosen to follow a false god and worship a false god. God removed himself, and Moses took the tent far out into the desert where the people could still see it, but it was no longer in their presence, to reveal to them that God cannot be near sin. I mean, it's a profound, profound lesson. Yeah. Now, what we have to understand is that there is a lot of symbolism that we're going to look at within the book of Joshua that relates to Jesus. It is a book that is historical. It is a book that looks back, like we just did, at Genesis and in Exodus and what occurred, so that we could see why it was so important that God says, I will be your God and you will be my people, but mm-hmm. they are not to have sin in the camp. He said in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Mm-hmm. And now, as Joshua is about to lead them into the promised land, he has a reflection of the history that's occurred. So it is a historical reflection back, but at the same time, it is a prophetic looking forward to what Christ is going to do mm-hmm. for our eternal glory. Mm-hmm. So just as Joshua will deliver the nation Israel into the promised land, Jesus will deliver us into eternal glory. And mm-hmm. that's kind of what we're going to unfold.
Mm. That's pretty deep.
It's going
to be great. It's awesome. I'm like, it is extremely deep.
Yeah. Love it.
It is extremely deep.
I don't have enough sticky notes to write all that down.
You're so funny. Okay, so here's my question I wanted to ask you guys. Have you ever messed up and wish you could have a do-over?
Yes. Always.
That was the first thing I read in your...
Okay. Do you want to see God do a mighty thing in your day?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Always.
I know I do. Yes, I do. And I don't want it to just be something big. I want it to be in the moment.
Right.
You know, right in the moment. I just left, the ladies here know, but I just left, my daughter was inducted to the National Honor Society, and they were talking to them about leadership and character and servanthood and these traits that they wanted the students to have, and how that it's a moment by moment choice. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And those moment by moment choices are what define our character and determine whether or not we walk with God. Mm-hmm. And really, that is what Portable Sanctuary is about. Yep. It's going to be the revelation mm-hmm. of the character revealed.
Mm. You know, I think we miss a lot of moments. I know I miss a lot of moments. Yep. Yeah. Because I'm not still, mm-hmm. you know, busy.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think that being still is so important.
And I'm feeling that really profoundly mm-hmm. right now, this month of May, yeah. with, we have something every night, mm-hmm. and I crying out to God, I just need it to stop. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. this cycle of school stuff, and there's mm-hmm. a lot that we have no choice. You have to be there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know.
So now it's like learning in the moment mm-hmm. to dwell, even if we're not yeah. still. And I know it's yeah. hard, because yeah, you're busy, mm-hmm. a thousand things on your mind, but God just wants you to know, all we have to do is know that mm-hmm. he's in our midst, in our presence, mm-hmm. and just have him lead us. But I know, I get challenged
so
all the time.
Yeah. Tanya just described a portable sanctuary. Mm-hmm. And we will look at that over the next 3 weeks after today. We're going to actually look at the scriptures and how we are the temple of the Lord. And just as they had the tent of meeting where the presence of God was presented to them, we now, through Christ, have him in us, and we are the temple. Mm. And so it is recognizing that we are that holiness now.
Right.
And being that person and being able to walk it and move forward in it today where we're at. And so it's important that mm. we catch that and we follow it. So
I was even thinking when you talked about, you know, that he moved the temple. So when we feel like we're not near God, he hasn't moved, but we feel that he has moved. So that's just telling us you've got something going on here. You
yeah.
need to
yeah.
well,
and
then
there's sin in the camp.
There's sin yeah. in the
and
camp.
You said a word a couple times, and you said, and like we talked about this being the new series, and then Joshua with the new era, you know. And so I just think to myself, like, the moment by moment, it's the newness every mm-hmm. moment. Like, if we just realize God's going to give us something new, we don't have to get stuck in the fact that we messed up.
Right.
Totally. Don't go there. Mm-hmm. Don't go there, because that's not from God.
No.
And, you know, a funny thing that happened, and I asked Michaela, and she gave me permission to post it on Facebook, so I figured I have permission to put it on the radio.
Sure.
We were coming home from ballet, and she got in the car, and Monday nights are her hard night because she's in the advanced group, and so it's just tougher. It's a level above her. And she got in the car, and I said, how'd it go tonight? And she goes, Mom, it was tough. Mm-hmm. She goes, I don't feel I'm good enough. I don't feel like I just have it. Like, I don't have the right look, the right whatever. And without thinking, you guys, it was one of those moments God just, sometimes things just come out of you and you don't know where it came from, and I'm just going to assume it was God because I felt it was profound. And without thinking, I began to sing To Michaela, High School Musical style.
That's funny.
Cute. Which is even,
I love it.
You guys know that's not a good thing. Don't listen to the minions of ballet. And so I start, and it had a tempo, a rhythm, and it was like, don't listen to the minions of ballet. They will come and lie to you every single day. Mm. And I started, the song, just without thinking, started coming out. And she just looked at me. Well, it wasn't at the time. I don't know where that came from. That was your wave offering to me something, Sabrina. And she looked at me and she goes, what are you doing? And I go, just go with it. It's good, right? And I go, am I weird? And she's like, yeah. And but we started talking about it. I go, Michaela, that is a minion. Yeah. Ballet has its minions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everything has its minions. Everything. Mm-hmm. And so I am the next day going about my day, and the school has asked me to do the calligraphy for all of the certificates for what was the National Honor Society. And I'm writing all the calligraphy.
You have too many gifts.
That's right. Just can't say one more thing.
And stop being good at things.
No.
Okay.
And I just, I told her, I said, I just feel they're not good enough. You know, like I look at them and I see imperfection. And she goes, don't listen to the minions of calligraphy.
I love it.
That's good.
And so I looked at her, I said the same thing. Yeah. The next day, we were talking, and I'm doing stuff with my schoolwork, and I'm like, I just don't think my writing's good enough. And she looked at me, and I mean, in a song, she's like, don't listen to the minions of writing. It's a lesson that we need to hear.
Absolutely.
So when sin gets in the camp, when we mess up, we have to deal with it immediately. And what Moses called them to do was to repent mm-hmm. and turn back to God. And that's what needs to happen with us. And then from there, it's forgiven, it's forgotten, it's dealt with, it's done. Don't go back where that is. And then stay in what Tanya was talking about, and that remembering that you are that sanctuary, mm-hmm. that you are the called out one mm-hmm. that has the presence of God with you moving forward in the moment to be the vessel that reveals to those around you who Christ is mm-hmm. and that he's at work with you. Mm-hmm. Now, we just have a few seconds, what, a minute left? 1 minute? Well, I want you to come back because we're going to fully define sanctuary, and then we're going to go into, in the next few weeks, we're just going to look at what Scripture has to say about sanctuary. The first month, we're going to examine as an intro sanctuary, and then we'll go into and examine how to be strong and courageous, how to grow in our faith, how to consecrate mm-hmm. ourselves, a call that God has called us to remember, how to walk in obedience, how to break strongholds, and the cost of his presence of walking in holiness. It is going to be a series that's really going to grow all of us. Mm-hmm. And so you need to come back and listen. For those that are listening on KCRO, thank you so much. And those that are donors to the Open Door Mission, so this is possible, we want to say thank you. For those that are listening on WINB, we also want to say thank you for being donors and making that possible. And we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at cultivatinghearts.org or at tararye.com. God bless.